to come. Last Sunday, many people saw an amazing story unfold in the Super Bowl. So a backup cornerback, who just a few weeks before this was receiving more than his share of boos from the Philadelphia Eagle fans because he was not playing well, and the team was not playing well, was named the most valuable player of the Super Bowl. Nick Foles, this quarterback, was greatly distressed about his future in football only a few years ago. It seemed that Foles would always be at the end of the bench, never got to play very much at all. And after each season, he was the one that was told, "We don't want you anymore." And so he went from team to team. And after one of those episodes of not playing very much and being told, "You're not going to come back to this team," he didn't pick up a football for 8 months. And he was going to quit. Well, he did not. And I think that he is probably going to become a very wealthy quarterback because he's a free agent in these coming weeks. And I heard that after he is done playing football, he wants to become a pastor. And that is because he knows where the real money is. Well, when I consider what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration, I believe that Peter would have joined with Nick Foles to say, "I have a feeling that my career just peaked." Jesus takes Peter and James and John up on a high mountain. It always seems that when Jesus wants to do, or when God wants to do something great, it's always on a mountain. And there, Jesus is changed. His face shines like the sun, and his clothes become amazingly white. And then Moses and Elijah, the two biggest people in the Old Testament, they are there with him. And then, just like at the baptism of Jesus, you have the voice coming from the cloud, "This is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." I think Peter's career had peaked, and he knew it. And so when all that happens, Peter is the one that wants to stay. See, that's like Old Testament stuff, like Mount Sinai. Or like when the people of Israel were in the desert and God was this cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night. And here it was. Peter got to see all of it. And dead people coming back to life and standing in front of them. So Peter says, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. And I'll put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Now, Peter didn't even care that he didn't have any place to stay. They didn't sleep under the stars. They were going to stay there. This was not the first time that Peter had a wonderful experience, and he did not want to take one more step forward. Just 6 days before this, they were in an area called Caesarea Philippi, and Peter was the one that was asked the question, "Who do people say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist. You're like John the Baptist. Others say, you're like Jeremiah. You're like some other preacher, some other prophet. But Peter, what about you? Who do you say that I am?" Remember his answer? Because Peter was one who was always the first to answer, even before he even thought about things. He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "Oh, blessed are you, Simon, son of John, son of Jonah. This was not revealed to you by men, but my Father in heaven." So he wanted to stay put right there. But then Jesus then described what the Christ was going to do. And the Christ was going to be beaten and rejected and suffer and die. And on the third day be raised to life again. Well, Peter didn't want to hear that at all. And so he took Jesus and he started to holler at him. He rebuked Jesus. He scolded him. "Lord, this will never happen to you." And Jesus, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." See, he didn't want to move from that area at all. But Jesus was talking then on the Mount of Transfiguration, and also when he spoke that there were better things to come. He was the Christ. And the Christ was the one who was going to suffer for the sins of all mankind. He was going to die for them. Three tenths, stay put. How silly. Transfiguration Sunday is a Sunday that we have right before Ash Wednesday. So in 3 days, we are going to start the season of Lent. So, if you are stuck in life and you're going nowhere, or if you find yourself comfortable in your routine and going nowhere, or if you find yourself stuck in your sins and they have all the power over you, or the guilt has just overwhelmed you and you are going nowhere except to hell, then what happened on the Transfiguration and what Christ said speaks about things that are better to come. On that Transfiguration, things that were better to come came by first looking at Jesus. They looked at Jesus, and his evidence and his majesty was evident. So what he was, God in the flesh, they got to see. It was evident how he looked. The deity on the inside shone on the outside. And then when you have Moses and Elijah suddenly leaving, you find a key word. And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. Matthew put it all together to tell us about better things to come when these two heroes from the past were there, and as quickly as they arrived, they also left. They were gone. And the only thing they saw was Jesus. Bo Geertz, who at one time was the bishop of the church in Sweden, wrote a book called The Hammer of God. This is what he writes. "It is a blessed thing when a believing soul looks in the Word for Jesus only. That I have not done. I have looked for persistence, for amendment of life. I have taken stock of my deeds. But I have lost sight of Jesus in all this mess. Like hammer blows aimed with unerring precision against the nail, head of a nail, the words Jesus only recurred again and again and sank ever deeper into the consciousness. Jesus only, the foundation of faith. The man sees nothing else, believes in nothing else, and builds his hope on nothing else. So it begins with sights. What do they see? Things better. Then they go to the ears and what you get to hear. So God spoke loudly from heaven. This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Peter had selective hearing. Some of us guys have selective hearing. And Peter did. Even though Jesus talked about a resurrection from the dead, all he heard was about the brutality and the crucifixion, saying, Lord, this will never happen to you. But the things that God had planned all had to go through the cross. They all had to come at great cost and sacrifice for the sins of the entire world. So when our souls are bothered by sin, when our sins, when we're filled with guilt because of them, well, we need to hear again the grace of God in Christ. In John 6, Jesus had a lot of people following him, and he didn't know, or maybe he did know, why they were there, because he had just fed thousands with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. And so he looks at them and says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And they left. He lost disciples at that moment. And he asked his disciples, are you going to leave as well? And Peter, once again Peter, says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Looking for something better is what we get to put into our ears because of what God has said. A man called Michael Iaconelli, who wrote a book called Messy Spirituality, talks about a time when him and his wife had a housekeeper, that would come in. They would come in every week, and they would clean all the corners and do everything just perfectly. I don't know if you've ever had that. It might be a nice thing. I went ahead and just had 3 kids, so they would do all that work for me. They moved out, so I don't know who's going to clean now. But Iaconelli says that he hated the day that the housekeeper came because they had to wake up early that morning, had to clean all of the house, do all that work because they did not want anyone to know how sloppy they really were. Waiting for better things to come means that we can't wait for God to come and do his work. We can't wait for him to do his cleaning and his transformation, his washing, his work. When Peter, James, and John heard that voice, Matthew's gospel says they fell face down to the ground, terrified. And Jesus came to them in compassion and power and lifted them up. See, waiting for better things to come, say that when we are overwhelmed, we understand all of our problems, our Lord actually will come to us and lift us up and give us his grace. Better things to come when we're terrified or afraid or humbled. So Peter didn't realize on the mountain that day how it would all end. He wanted to stay for the moment. He wanted it not to go on. He wanted things as they were right then. But Jesus always has better things to come. When we are able to look at him, clearly look at him, those are better things to come. When we're able to read his word, study his word, hear his word, and it goes into our soul, those are better things to come. And at times when we are just flat on the ground and we are terrified, and then we know His touch, and we say, that is the better thing to come. In a few days, they're going to put a smudge of ash on your forehead right here. And you're going to hear about your mortality. We're going to confess our sin. But that's not the final word. No, there's always better things to come. Our sin is great. Our mortality is sure. But our Lord is even greater. Jesus always has better things to come. May He do that today, tomorrow, and every day, forever. I pray that in Christ's name. Amen. We rise. And may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.